All men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work of the Lord brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. And whenever you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that what you give is done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The subject which takes up most of the ethical teaching in all of our scriptures is about community, how we live together, how civil society can be peaceably and justly ordered, how aliens, that's immigrants like me, how aliens are welcomed and cared for, how those who fall on hard times are looked after and helped to rebuild their lives. This is at the core of all social justice, not just for people of faith, but especially for people of faith. Social justice, the right ordering of things, is embedded in a Christian understanding of who we are before God. We claim no exclusivity in this, for people of all faiths will anchor their work for social justice in the teachings and example of their religion. We're gathered here tonight as exemplars, perhaps, of the social capital generated by the Church of England, still the largest generator of social capital in the whole nation. Britain is a nation of volunteers. A substantial majority of all volunteers are in employment or full-time education. And we know this here at our cathedral. Earlier this afternoon, I held a tea for volunteers. Thankfully, not all 450 or so were able to attend, because even our marquee wouldn't be quite big enough. We rely on volunteers for our core purpose of serving. We serve the parishes, schools, and chaplaincies of our diocese, and the civic society of the County of Surrey and our part of Northeast Hampshire. All of this we can only do through the generosity of hundreds of volunteers. We're blessed to have among us people who have given many, many years of service, and others, for example, students at the University of Surrey, who, knowing that they only have 3 years with us, throw themselves into our shared life. Both a short time of volunteering and many years take enormous commitment. For those of us who can mark decades in service in whatever role, we have good health and the blessing of being settled in one place to thank. For it can take time to find your feet in a new environment. We don't know whether our contribution would be welcome. We might think we have to wait to be asked. It's hard to throw yourself in right at the beginning. Sometimes there are proper requirements, for example, a degree of fitness or an audition, a DBS check, and these may seem unreasonable. Volunteering is unpaid, but it's not unprofessional. Many organizations, and we are one, have high expectations of volunteers, and we take recruitment, support, training very seriously. And our volunteers are professional in what they offer to this cathedral church, but more importantly, to the areas in which we serve. What we also take seriously is our Christian context. In the first lesson, we heard an excerpt from the book of the Genesis, of the Exodus, which tells part of the story of how the people of God were instructed through Moses to build a tabernacle. So generous was their response that Moses had to issue another edict to stop them bringing any more stuff. Not only did the people bring out their possessions and wood and wool and jewels and cloth and stone, but they also brought their skills. Designers and teachers were identified who could be responsible for instructing the people. We might call it upskilling the volunteers. Together, they designed and built the tabernacle for the Ark of the Lord. They adorned it and made it fit for purpose. The purpose was the glory of God. And no one, save the designers, which is a tick, nice tick for designers everywhere, no one save the designers or Moses are mentioned by name. Yet here we are, thousands of years later, commemorating not just their work, but their example of generosity, of giving what they had, what they could, in the service of God, for the good of the whole community, not for any recognition themselves save that of posterity. In our second lesson, this anonymity is also commended by Jesus as he's teaching his disciples something about the how of praying and of giving. There's no option that these both are marks of a righteous life, but it is the how of it. Some of the pious people had fallen into a habit of drawing attention to their piety, of standing where they could be seen while they were praying, of praying very loudly or with flowery language, and giving alms in such ways that everybody knew how much they were putting into the plate. You can tell they weren't British. It's perhaps more countercultural in the land of my birth, perhaps in other places with which you're familiar. In some places, it is expected that everybody knows how much everybody else is giving, but it's not the British way. But before we British can congratulate ourselves, we need to take the general point rather than simply the specific. Why do we give the service we give? And of course, the answer is something to do with the service of God, that it's the right thing to do, that it's an example our parents set for us. And often accompanying this is what we know we receive in return for what we give. We receive because there is pleasure in being of help, and we receive when there is a genuine spirit of gratitude and of shared endeavor. This, of course, is at the heart of any honors list. When we read in the newspaper a quote from a recipient of an honor, I know there are recipients among us this evening. Recipients speak of the work other people have done, to which they have contributed, although they've been honored specifically. They name the others too. And almost like the Queen's Honours List, there are hundreds of people who volunteer at our cathedral. People like Les and Vicky, who can mark a significant number of decades as members of the cathedral singers and the predecessor choirs. People like Hannah and Gabriel and Jacob and Rachel, who got stuck into life here in their first term as students, who, although they cannot amass a quantity of years, but whose quality of service is deeply valued and appreciated. People like Catherine and Edmund and others who give while they're at school and all of that entails, still being here on time, still thinking about how they can serve others. People who, like our pastoral assistants, undergo training for their service. Our bell ringers slog up the stairs even in blistering heat. Those who capturing the first-hand stories of those who helped build this cathedral as part of our oral history project. Our guides and day chaplains who've continued to provide a welcome in the midst of each day being different because of our building works. To our choir chaperones and choir parents, who put their entire families at the service of their chorister, singing here to serve the liturgy. And my many colleagues here, who may well be employed, but in addition give time voluntarily. So many more could be mentioned. And the danger in mentioning some is that some seem forgotten, but they are not forgotten. They are not forgotten by us here, and they're certainly not forgotten by God. In all organizations of our kind, the voluntary service is like that of Moses' people, bringing skill, time, and money to the service of the greater good. And like those encouraged by Jesus to give, but they do so privily, seeking no reward. Reward is not the same as recognition. I'm enormously grateful to all our volunteers for the hours of time and buckets of skill and enthusiasm which is brought to the service of the whole of what we're trying to do here as Mother Church. But it isn't for me, and it must never be for recognition, that service is offered. So it isn't a thank you from me which is the true recognition, although I do offer it deeply and most sincerely to all who volunteers in so many ways for weeks, months, years, and decades. The true recognition comes from God, And we together need to hear God saying, thank you. This feels difficult, I admit, because it's us who offer our thanks to God. It doesn't feel right that God might thank us, but God does. God speaks to the depths of each of our hearts, saying, thank you. Well done, my good and faithful servant. In whatever way, small or great, noticed or behind the scenes, thank you for each today who serves as part of the work of our cathedral church as we serve our diocese and our community. Long may our service be a blessing to others. And now to him who's able to keep us from falling and present us before his glorious presence without fault, and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, now and forever. Amen.